mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he.
We have an explanation, or kind of an explanation.
What?
As for what the hell happened in the final 2 minutes of overtime that led to the Packers going and settling for a tie against the Dallas Cowboys this last week. But I think it's fair to say, Joshy, the answer is, it gets a little convoluted at times. Is that fair to say?
It's convoluted, potentially misremembered. Potentially inaccurate.
Okay.
Okay.
Did he volunteer this or was he asked?
Well, so Jason, again, he was going to be asked about it and the operation and all that. So Jason's the one who asked it.
Jason known as an agitator?
Well, I mean,
I'm just saying.
We used to have the drop. I know Wilde and Tausch have it, that they'll play it from time to time. I'm sure it's lost somewhere in our system, Joshy, through all the moves we've had over the years. But there is a clip of Mike McCarthy saying, I'm in no mood for drama today, Jason.
Because we were warned when I played about certain individuals. And Jason wasn't one of them at the time because Jason was young.
He was so new.
Jason was super young.
Yeah.
But there were guys that we were told, be careful.
Who are the agitators?
I can't.
Remember?
No, I remember.
So why don't you just name names?
Bob McGinn was one of them.
Didn't Bob, I feel like Jason's told the story, or maybe you told the story, of Bob like pulling somebody aside, a rookie aside during like rookie orientation, and the rookie, oh, hey, so what happened
there?
Yeah, me. Oh, that was you?
He tried getting me a few times, and he did, but that's what he, and
yeah, he's just doing his job.
I think that's a good, yes,
he's
that's
just
the sign of
job.
A good reporter, yeah. But you got to, you know.
He's taking advantage
you watch
of,
these guys.
Of you.
I think,
yes.
I think Jason has the reputation of if something happened and the answers haven't been adequate, he is going to make sure to get them out of
it. I love it. I love the hard question.
As a fan of this team, yeah. I very much appreciate it.
Well, and again, I feel like, because you can't just straight up ask the question the way that a lot of the fan base wants you to ask it. You have to massage the question in order to get the answer that everybody's searching for. So LaFleur kind of walked us through it. And again, I think at times, it's a long answer. There are times where we can get bogged down in some of the details, which is why I'm glad we've got the big guy back. And he's back from his riverboat vacation wearing his Tennessee State hoodie today instead of the Lederhosen, because he can give us the Chewy translator.
Well, no, let me. Tennessee State now goes to a workout shirt because my son isn't there anymore. That's what happens. So you'll see me in Fresno. You'll see me in New Mexico stuff.
Yeah.
So once they're done, it becomes a workout shirt. Problem
have
is,
have you lost all your Michigan State stuff, or is that stuff?
Yeah,
become,
that's gone. I actually gave it away. I gave it away to a friend of Angie's. Son went there, so I gave him all that stuff. The problem is this. It turns into a workout shirt. I got a haircut today, so I'm going to have
to. So that's why we're not wearing a hat.
Yeah, I got to paint the outside of it before I go and get a haircut. You know what I mean by paint the outside
deodorant.
Of it.
Yes. We've had this discussion before. Chewy, instead of washing his clothes, will put deodorant on the outside when he has to go somewhere.
Yes, but my sleep is still not right after 3 days. I was up at 3:45, wide awake. What's going on?
Well, you were over in Europe for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to be an adjustment period.
Yeah.
You know I need? You know what I really need, and I'm going to miss it, is a Blamer Thursday where I stay up later.
Okay.
Because I'm still going to bed at like 7 o'clock, so I digress. But, all right, are we going to get to it in this segment?
We
are we all stretched?
We're going to get to it right now. We've got Chef D coming up. I was just going to try to figure out what your body clock adjustment is for jet lag. But I wasn't able to find it quickly to tell you how long it's going to take you.
I'll be all right. The weekend, I'll be fine.
Okay. All right. So here is Matt LaFleur talking about what happened in the final 2 minutes of overtime, Packers versus Cowboys.
To throw the ball away if it's not there, and he throws the check down, and that puts you in that situation. Once that has happened, what are the guys supposed to do? Because from the outside looking in, it didn't look like there was the urgency that was required.
Which that the urgency that was required didn't happen previous to that as well, which gets into the process of we ran a play out of the 2 minute and then we huddled up and we called a play. We thought they were going to be in cover two. They played man coverage. We hit Rome on a slant. And at that point is when, in my mind, it's 2 minute. We operated out of a different 2 minute formation. So I would say this, where we have to clear up the communication is when we're not in 2 minute mode and then you jump into 2 minute mode, everybody on the field has to know that. And they.
All right. So he's talking about going into 2 minute mode.
Yes.
How is that typically communicated?
LaFleur tells Jordan or whoever's in his ear. Whoever's in his ear, let's go 2 minute, and that's full. Now, even when they were on the 13 or 14 around there, yeah, it was still time. I would not have gone to a full-blown 2 minute. I would have went to a version of 2 minute where—
So just like the up-tempo, the no huddle.
Up-tempo, receivers get to where you need to go and tell Jordan, okay, you got 6 seconds here. Mm-hmm. Okay, plenty of time. We're fine. The problem is receivers are lollygagging. Especially after the golden
screen.
Slip screen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, so Dobbs, that, you shouldn't be helping him up.
Well, because they
he should be popped up on his own, line up. And we talked about this yesterday. This is the problem with a young team.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't consider, I'm not considering Dobbs a veteran,
mm-hmm,
but he should know better.
Okay.
Because he's been in that situation before.
Okay. But they also use the timeout there.
Which I don't, look, and we talked about this. Why they used a timeout in that situation is, I don't know why. It was stupid. When you use a timeout in that situation, right,
mm-hmm,
is when you have your receivers clearing out or running deep or down the field. And you throw it to a back or something, it's a crappy play, he's down. You use a timeout there because all those receivers have to come back, which eats up times, line up, get the play. When everyone's there at the line of scrimmage, why the hell do you call a timeout? Those guys should be popping up. They're already in trips because there was a three-man set.
Yep.
You just say, stay in trips, 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 right? And whoever's in his ear should be telling him that. Line up, call a play, sense of urgency. Okay, now we go. And then you use the timeout after that play if you can't get out of bounds or it's an incomplete pass. But you want to hold on to that timeout.
Mm-hmm.
Where they should have called the timeout is when they were lollygagging at the end of the game and it took them 14 seconds to call a stupid play and it got tipped down and thank God there was 1 second left on the clock. That's what you save it for. Because then you'll have two legit shots, possibly at the end zone.
Okay. Let's hear the rest of Matt LaFleur explaining what happened in the final 2 minutes.
You have to operate as such. And we were operating more of our, you know, no huddle tempo, which isn't warp speed, whereas 2 minute is got to be warp speed.
So I think that's what you were
which
talking
is what
about.
I'm talking
there.
About.
You were
yes.
talking about that. And
correct.
Again, going no huddle versus 2 minutes.
Yes.
And you're so you were fine with going no huddle tempo versus 2 minute tempo because you didn't have that much
but
further
as a
to
receiver,
go.
There's still a sense of urgency to get lined up.
Yes.
And then let Jordan slow play it and let him control the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not fart around and have guys lift you up and pick you up. Let's go.
It just wasn't. It's a bad look, quite honestly, and you know that's why you get a bad result as well. But it's just the communication and process have got to be cleaned up because we can't allow that ever to happen again.
And then one other thing to that point, what he should have done with a young team like this, and I know it's a little Johnny High School, but sometimes you got to pull out Johnny High School. You bring the whole damn offense over there, right?
Yeah,
and you explain to them what you're doing. Hey. Okay, we have 28 seconds left here. We got to go. We got to go. And then you sit there and go, okay, we're going to call two plays right now. We're going to call two plays. If he's tackled inbounds, get your ass back to the line of scrimmage, line up, and let Jordan control the clock. Don't let the receivers control the clock by getting lollygagging to the line of scrimmage two plays, and then you say, okay, clock stops, get out of bounds, incomplete pass, huddle up, and we'll call another two plays.
So is this a result of, because I know we played the sound yesterday of Colin Cowherd calling Matt LaFleur a chaperone. He's not a head coach, he's a chaperone because this team is so young. But I also feel that's misleading at this point, because on the field of those guys, of the 11 players on the field for the Packers, outside of Jordan Morgan and Matthew Golden, and Morgan's in his second year, but only got to play a handful of snaps over the course of six games because he was rotating and that got hurt. And Matthew Golden, who's a rookie, like you said, they're not veterans, but at this point, it feels like they should know better because a lot of them are in their third or fourth year of playing. And that's, like, I guess that's the jarring thing to me. Like, shouldn't these guys have been in this situation before, and it feels like the majority of them, starting with Jordan Love, should know better.
All right. When I played, okay, Thursdays are your long days, but it always ended in 2 minutes. And the offense loved it and the defense because it was a competition.
Yep.
But every single time, Holmgren would change up the situation. Sometimes it would be like, all right, we got 2 minutes. We're starting at the minus 30. We got to have 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
The next time was, all right, we're starting at the minus 45. We have 47 seconds. Have to score a touchdown. Okay? Okay, we're at the plus. We're at the plus 45. We have 22 seconds. We have to have a touchdown. It changed every week.
We have, and you're going to nail. Timeouts. We have three timeouts. We have no timeouts.
Yes.
I'm sure he switched.
You're
going to
nail
too.
The situation.
Yeah.
Right. You're going to nail the situation, and that's a difference, you know. And that's one of the negatives of having a young team. I don't know how they practice. I don't know if they do 2 minute every week.
They do. Yes. Well, I should say I know they do it every training camp practice, or they do it a lot.
Yeah.
Because you'll see the guys tweet out basically the beat reporters will be talking about like who won the 2 minutes in each, and they do it for first, second, and third stringers. My biggest problem with this is Matt LaFleur says the pace is on him, and we can say, well, is he just saying that because he takes the fault for everything, as we've heard millions of times. But when I watched it, and Cheesehead TV did a video where they overlaid Matt LaFleur's comments with what was happening on the field.
Yes.
And I came away with it thinking either Matt LaFleur was misremembering the situation or he was being dishonest about what took place. Because when you match those things up and you match up the sequence of when they were supposed to be going into warp speed
and
continued to lollygag, there was two plays and a timeout that happened before the sequence of the Matthew Golden pass that ended in the negative. I mean, before the Wilson pass.
I don't know how you forget.
Right.
Because you could take a big play of mine throughout my career, and I remember what the play is.
Yeah.
Okay? The one I scored in the Super Bowl at Denver, 64 U-corner halfback flat. The last play of the game, two-jet Winston. I mean, this is 30 years ago, and I still – and you're going to claim you forgot something that happened 5 days ago?
Well, he never claimed that. That was me trying to –
No, I know.
Yeah.
That's Josh editorializing. But I think – again, I think it kind of depends upon what the operation is. Because if he's not the one who's in Jordan's helmet – because I learned this week that Holmgren was not the one in Brett's helmet.
No.
Yeah.
But I did not know that. That was – as many stories as I've heard you tell over the years, and as great as they've been and operational stuff you've told, that's the first time – we've talked about that. So if LaFleur's not the one in Jordan's helmet, I have no idea if he is or isn't.
I'm pretty sure they've referenced him.
I thought Jason said he was.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they've referenced him being the one.
I can't say that for certain. I don't know that for sure. So if he's not the one, I can see where the miscommunication is. Because he's thinking they're going warp speed, or they should be, and they're not. And he can't get into Jordan's helmet and go, hey. So the only thing to me that breaks down here for certain is what the hell happened during the time.
But if you look at old film, and Andy was always right next to Mike. So you could hear Mike talking to Andy, where Andy would just go, did you hear that?
Yeah.
And a lot of times, because I wasn't far from Brett, and the it's so loud.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it has to be, especially if you're gone.
That I would hear Andy go, hey, make sure Chew watches it for cover two here.
Yeah.
And Brett wouldn't even have to tell me because I could hear it.
Because you could hear it.
But that's what I mean. I think, and I don't know what, I've never met the man or nothing, but I know micromanagers because my wife is a micromanager because we're leaving for Florida.
Wife catching a stray this morning.
Well, we're leaving for Florida yeah. and she's trying to, my job is to shut down all the properties, right?
Yep.
Make sure everything's up. And she's telling me that. And I'm like, stay in your lane, please. Sometimes you just have to trust the people around you.
How'd that go for you?
She knew. She knew. I'm going to forget something, and I'm going to get my ass ripped. That's how it always works.
The important thing to me is there's two plays, a timeout, and at no point in that time does the message get relayed any of the available ways.
Well, so again, the timeout is when, to me, it's the most criminal. Because again, there's a lot of stuff going on. It looks like they're kind of going quick, just maybe not as quick as LaFleur would want. And it's tough for him to communicate that to Jordan, and then Jordan to yell at all the eligible receivers, hey, hurry your ass up.
Right. Yeah.
So I understand how that can break down.
But
again,
I also think, don't they have, I'm sure they have signals of, hey, let's go. Like when they think they have someone up.
I mean, the universal sign for hurry up. Like,
right.
Yeah, whether you're moving your fingers in a circular motion or it's just one that's moving in a circular motion.
You'll see Matt LaFleur do that.
Yeah.
And Jordan Love and the offense rush because they see a substitution happening too slow. And they're like, hey, we can get one off here.
Yeah.
So they do that.
Sure. But I can see how that happens.
To me,
the lollygagging after the completion out of the timeout is the one that's most inexcusable. Because you had the timeout to get everybody together and go, hey, we weren't moving quick enough on those plays. If we complete a pass inbounds on this next play, we have to move. We're out of timeouts. We cannot let this situation get to a point where we're lucky that we get a field goal.
Here's what you do, though, if I'm LaFleur, okay, before the players go off their little mini vacation here, you run the exact same situation in practice, right? And then you stop it and say, this is how it works, okay? Are we all clear, okay? There's no huddle. There's 2 minute, okay? Jordan's the boss. Let's go.
Yeah.
Sense of urgency. And then just go through the whole thing. And then run a simulated 2 minute drill, and then just
the fact they came out after that Emmanuel Wilson pass after the timeout with how much time's left here?
Let me. 28 seconds.
28 seconds. So after they continued to show that pace, me watching felt like they were all told we need to be aware of the clock, but we're not trying to beat the clock. We want to drain this thing as much as humanly possible.
When they were moving as slow as they were initially, I thought they were just going to clock it with 3 seconds left.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then
And
then they lined up in shotgun, and it's like, what the bleep is going on?
But, All right.
Save the thought. We're already really late. We got to make sure we get to Shefty on time. So give me that thought coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The other side of the world, and I'll let you know if I want to come back and coach your little game.
He's Jay Peterman.
Ian Rappaport tweeting yesterday, and I thought this was interesting.
Oh,
the Broncos Burma? The
that
last
was gibberish.
Few weeks. Are you guys done?
I got more.
On 94.5 ESPN.
As a quarterback, is he responsible for getting everybody, let's go?
I'm responsible for that.
Yeah.
Matt LaFleur yesterday explaining what happened in the final 2 minutes of overtime that led to the Packers being fortunate to get off a field goal to tie the Cowboys 40 apiece. Chewy, you wanted to add one more thing before we get to Adam Schefter.
Yeah, and one more thing is just, in their defense, it's not an excuse. In their defense, though, this is hectic. This is chaotic.
This
is on the road. This is overtime. This is, you got to score. There is a tremendous amount of pressure. Now, it doesn't excuse what happened in the game, because when it comes to situations like this, you should have covered it throughout their truncated training camp or during the course of a season, but it is chaotic and it's crazy. And it's like, this is a young team with a veteran team. You kind of like, okay, we've been here. Let's just slow it down a little bit.
Can I ask two questions?
Sure.
I want answers from both of you. Did Matt LaFleur intend on scoring a touchdown in overtime to win the game?
Yes.
When?
Well, no. I think what he was
trying... I think at what point is an important variable there?
This is what I think.
When they were around midfield, yes. When they got inside the 20, sure as hell didn't feel like it.
I think his focus was... His focus that he might have got blinded by a little bit is leaving no time on the clock for Dallas to get the ball back. And then he just lost it.
Yeah.
He just lost it. He's like... And it's hard. I mean, it's tough, but man, you got to be on top of it. And that's why, and I don't know any of these guys. All I know is our assistants back in the day were really freaking good.
Yeah.
They're really good.
You had a lot of really,
They're really good ones.
Yeah.
And the benefit of me being able to hear Brett's headset with things like Andy Reid just saying, hey, have Chew watch this or have Free watch this or watch the blitz here is such an advantage. You know, I don't know if that happens. I don't think it does because LaFleur doesn't have enough. Calling plays is hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard. On top of being able to communicate with the quarterback and all these other things. But I'm just telling, back in the day, man, we had some good coaches.
Second question I have. Do you think everyone involved with the offense, head coach down to the 11 players on the field, do you think everyone was aware that a touchdown ended the game?
Everyone, I'm going to say no.
Because it did not seem like there was 11 players all going, hey, we get there, we score a touchdown, we walk out of here with a victory. It did not look that way.
Yeah, it would not be shocking to me. Just based on previous stories of very high-profile players like Donovan McNabb not realizing games can end in a tie. And not being, because they change the rules in overtime so often. One question I do want to get to before we get to Adam Schefter here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. On the Car Blues Talk and text line, 800-990-3776. Chewy, maybe you know the answer to this question. When does communication go off in the helmet pre-snap?
15 seconds, I believe.
So I knew that.
Yeah.
But when does it go off in that situation? Because when they started the play, it goes 15 seconds in the play clock. It's
all based upon the play clock. So if you're
snapping. What if there is no play clock? Because at 28 seconds, there's no play clock anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Isn't it the snap then? Like as soon as the ball gets snapped?
That I do not know.
Yeah, so that's the confusion I have. Because in this situation, after they completed the pass and lost a yard to Emmanuel Wilson, they had 28 seconds. So there is no more play clock. Does it turn off with 15 seconds left in the game?
I'm sure it rolls. I'm sure it's just on.
Okay. So it's just on from all the way until the play is...
I would assume.
Okay.
You know? I would assume.
Or would it just be the simulated play clock? So, you know, if it would turn off 25 seconds later, at this point, it's getting shut off at 3 seconds. I don't know.
I don't know. But I'll tell you this, man, and another benefit of having a veteran team, and this happened, like, every game, the play would come in wrong. And I'm like, Brett, you can't run it like that. Mm-hmm. It's got to be trips Y motion and then go to there.
Yeah.
And you'd have to That's how chaotic it is. Not everything is peaches and cream. Sometimes it comes in wrong. But when you have veterans, that know the playbook in and out, you know, you correct it.
And that's coming from a guy who should be in the Hall of Fame in Mike Holmgren.
Yes.
And an assistant coach who will be in the Hall of Fame with Andy Reid.
Absolutely.
And sometimes the play, two Hall of Famers, and sometimes the play just got communicated wrong.
I had my best catch of my career, and I wasn't even supposed to be in the game. 22 Rattler, and...
Against two.
I think I was supposed to run a corner, and I like, la, 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 ran a corner, and all of a sudden Brett throws me the ball. I didn't know what I was doing. Caught it with one hand against Minnesota on the 2-yard line. I'm like, there you go.
Adam Schefter joins us next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And Joshy's biggest fan.
It's nice to see Josh at the big boy table. Thank you, everybody. Keep up the good work, Josh.
It's ESPN NFL Insider Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino. Gaming, casual, and fine dining. Two golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island. Also brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. First Weber Real Estate Services. The real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. Get started today at WendorfTeam.FirstWeber.com.
Always love talking to our guy, Adam Schefter, each and every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, even though he is showing up in his Michigan shirt before they kick the crap out of Wisconsin on Saturday in Ann Arbor. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, guys. What's going on?
Just grinding. That's what we do. We grind.
Welcome back to you guys, right?
Wish I never left.
Gabe was in last week. Chewy, no go, but there we go.
Are you a fan of Europe?
In what sense?
The travel, the water.
Chewy had
how crowded it is.
Mixed results in his riverboat European cruise that he took over the last 2 weeks.
Listen, I love to go to Europe. I had the chance to do it when I was younger and single. Now that I'm older, married, kids, dogs, all kinds of things like that, it's not as simple.
I like the warm weather. I like warm weather Europe, not 50 and rain Europe, which is fair, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So rained on my parade, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Okay, there you go.
Shefty, maybe you know the answer to this question. We did not, despite having Chewy. So we know that the communication of the quarterback goes off in the helmet with 15 seconds left on the play clock. But what about when there's no play clock? So, for example, the Packers in overtime against the Cowboys, they started their final play with 28 seconds left. So the play clock is obviously off. Do you know when the communication of the quarterback would be shut off in that instance?
No. I do not know that.
Okay.
Hold on one second. I just got to get one thing posted here on the Browns.
Again, this breaking news, it kind of got bad time for the news to be breaking that Dylan Gabriel is going to be starting at for the Cleveland Browns going forward for Shefty joining us this week. So we appreciate you still jumping on despite the big news coming out of Cleveland.
Adam, I know it's only been four games. You know, with the signing of Micah Parsons, but to this point, have the Packers underachieved?
Well, you know, give me 1 second, Chewy. Just one second.
Yeah, we can talk amongst ourselves.
One thing that I got to get done here.
I think they have.
I know you have. You've been asking everybody that. You asked us that right away on Monday. You asked Jason that when he joined us yesterday. And I think that's given the way they started, Chew, I think that's a fair thing to say. Given the way they started 2-0 and to go 0-1-1 the last 2 weeks.
Is that a product of youth?
Could be. Going on the road, it's a little bit different than being at home.
Yeah. Because I know
buying into your own hype.
I know young guys that would freeze up, you know. Obviously, they love playing at home, but they get on the road and they get a little intimidated and things like
that.
But
again, I love the way you put it earlier, Chew, with, yes, it's a young team, but when you say Romeo Doubs, I'm not saying he's a veteran, but he should know better. And that's how I feel about the majority of the team. Okay, maybe they're not full of veterans, but they have guys that should know better because they've played enough at this point.
But to me, this last game was a product more of... And it's shocking to me, fourth game into the year, that they weren't ready to play, especially defensively, because they were not. When you have Micah Parsons grading out on PFF, 94 point whatever he did, and the next closest grade was in the 70s, you can't tell me they were ready to play.
But the way the game started, they were up 13-0. Like they forced three punts on the opening possession on the opening three possessions. The Cowboys didn't look like they could go anywhere, and then all of a sudden some sort of switch flipped. So when I think of you're not ready to play, and maybe we're just not on the same page here. When I think of you're not ready to play, you don't get off the bus.
Well, then I'll throw it into I believe the players weren't ready to play defensively, and I don't think the coach was ready to coach because there were no adjustments.
Ask your question to Adam again.
What was it? Adam, underachieve, overachieve. It's more underachieve.
Okay. Listen, I think if you're the Green Bay Packers right now and you are 2-1-1 at the bye, I think you're disappointed. I think you're disappointed, right? Last I checked a couple of weeks ago, we got their offensive lineman talking about unbeaten season. They lose at Cleveland, a game they shouldn't have lost. Everybody thought they were going to boat race the Dallas Cowboys. Micah would have multiple sacks. They would just have their way, and they didn't. They wound up in a tie, which in a certain way they were fortunate to get because of their clock management late in the game. So you're sitting there, on the one hand, you say this team at times has looked dominant, but they still haven't won a road game after four games. They haven't won on the road at all. They're 2-1-1, and I think the hopes are high, and you're encouraged by what you've seen, and you think this team's got a lot of potential, but I don't think you're particularly thrilled with 2-1-1.
No.
Our conversations?
Right?
No, absolutely not. Especially after the way it started.
Right, exactly. They started like a house on fire, and they finished in a tie.
40-40.
Okay, they get a bye. And they get a bye. Hopefully you get some of these guys healthy. Get Jacob's ankle a little bit healthier, get the offensive line a little bit healthier, get some of these guys back, get some wide receivers back. I think that's the hope. This team is good enough to go to the Super Bowl and win it. It's good enough to go to... I'm not telling it will. I don't know whether it will. It's too early to say, but I know that this early in the season, it's a little bit disappointing.
Our conversation with Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates. Just like the moves made in the pros, Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Group, helps people make their own big moves every day. Trusted knowledge, superior service. They're the real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. So, Shefty, with overtime, it feels like there have been a lot of people writing pieces about this game ending in a tie. They changed the overtime rule this year. Now both teams get a possession. There was a proposal that went along with this of, okay, if both teams are going to get the ball, let's expand overtime to 15 minutes. Do you think we're going to see another overtime change the more and more we see these games be lengthened? Because, again, the Cowboys played an overtime game against the Giants that came down to the buzzer as well in that 10-minute period. Do you think eventually we see, if both teams are going to possess the ball in overtime, the league goes, all right, let's go back to a 15-minute overtime period?
I haven't heard that. I'd have to check into it. It's all about player health and safety in the eyes of the league and the competition committee. They're making these rules based off players' health and safety. Now, Chewy, I don't know how many overtime games you played. Do you remember?
A handful, probably three or four. Yeah.
Do you remember being any more tired at that time or worn down or anything like that?
No, because it was different. It was first team that scored one. So it usually didn't go very long.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's a way they could duplicate the college system. Again, I'm not a huge college football guy. I don't watch it, but that system seems to have worked pretty well. Am I right?
From an entertainment perspective, I love the college overtime. I love the teams getting it at the 25. There's instant excitement. It's entertaining. Now, when they go to the 2-minute or the 2-point off, because they've changed that over the years too. So after the first two overtimes, it just becomes both teams running a succession of two-point conversion type plays. That's not as great, but yeah, I enjoy the overtime aspect of college football, I would say. Gets done relatively quick.
I've never heard of them taking a look at that, but I think you don't want to go longer than 10 minutes of play. A tie is unsatisfying to everybody involved. What's the solution, Again, that's why I go back. I think of the college system. I say, well, that seems to have been successful. Like, it's not, I mean, if he goes double, triple overtime, that might be the equivalent of 10 minutes in
the NFL. I don't know if it's necessarily the tie thing that the NFL would get rid of, because the ties, I mean, how many overtime games we have? We have a handful of overtime games league-wide every year, but this is the first tie since 2022. So the ties don't factor in all that often. It's just about, okay, if both teams are going to possess the ball, is 10 minutes long enough to kind of get everything you need to get in?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to me. I guess that's the question.
My question, and I mean this. So let's just say the Detroit Lions against the Baltimore Ravens that Monday night game had a 10-minute drive. If you take a 10-minute drive and you burn the clock and you get down, you score with, I'm making this up, 9 minutes and 42 seconds, and the other team gets the ball back with 18 seconds. That's it, right?
That's it. That's it. Mm-hmm. You just play the one overtime period, and that's it. Which is part of the strategy if you want to receive, if you want to kick. So I think that all factors in, and teams are trying to figure that out of, hey, how do we want to handle if we win or lose the coin toss?
And it's also very rare for a team to have a 10-minute drive. Yeah. And by the way, if a team has a 10-minute drive to open overtime, then just like...
Good for them.
Exactly. In the previous overtime scenario, like, at least you had a chance to get that. Like, you were going to have a chance, but your defense was terrible. As opposed to the first score, a team could just drive down, go 30 yards. In today's day and age, you might go 15 yards with a Brandon Aubrey field goal, bring him on, and kick a 65-yarder, and it's over, right?
Adam, is what Jacksonville is accused of doing when it comes to sign-stealing legal?
Yes.
It is.
It is. And I think teams do it, and I think Robert Saleh said yesterday that 49ers – defense coordinator, that he regretted his choice of words. He shouldn't have said it the way he did. I think teams are always just kind of monitoring what other teams are doing. You know, there's this whole underworld. Everybody's always looking for an advantage. And if it means like you're tracking what other people are doing, then that's what it is. And he tried to say that he meant it as a compliment. Obviously, I had a feeling that Liam Cohen didn't take it as a compliment. He certainly didn't.
If you get accused of stealing something, even if it's legal, if you get accused of stealing something, I don't think you're taking it as a compliment. Like, in any sense.
I remember, Adam, like back in the early 90s, Ted Thompson cracked Tony Dungy's defensive signals where we knew every time they were going to be in Tampa, too. And we kept it hush-hush. And I think that was the start of covering the mouth and something. But I'll never forget. Ted Thompson was just, I think he was director of player personnel back then. And it was such an advantage. It was great. I think they knew, though, and they changed it the following game.
By the way, I guarantee this has been going on through time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, of course, right?
Like, yeah.
I think Connor Stallions is the first one that ever did something. Like, it's the most absurd thing ever.
Yeah. I mean, you're a Michigan guy. You know all about this stuff. Sorry, that was a little bit of a shot. I'm sorry.
I went to school for it. I know what we got for you this Saturday, okay?
Yeah, he's going to kick the crap out of Wisconsin this Saturday. I can guarantee you that, Adam. I know
they don't need
coming.
To steal any signals, let's be honest.
Yeah, you're good.
Line it up. Just go for it.
Just run your vanilla stuff, and you'll be perfectly fine this weekend. Adam, there have been reports out of Green Bay that the Packers might kick the tires on Asante Samuel Jr., who's working his way back. Is he going to be working out for teams soon? What's kind of the timeline for him and his return to the NFL?
You know, I haven't heard, and I knew that he wasn't healthy. I knew that it was going to take a little bit of time, and I haven't checked into the season before because I just kind of lost track of it. Like, I always feel like if we're into October and we're waiting for a guy to come back, he might be able to come in and help, but usually there are not too many guys who are coming off the street in October that help a team later on. So no disrespect to him. He's been a productive, good player in the league, but I just haven't seen that too often when somebody signs this late.
And it's just such a serious injury, you know, like it's who knows. That's correct. Kind of the issue there too. If you're injured last year and you're still not healthy a full calendar year later, it's just an unfortunate situation that he was a free agent to be when the injury ended up happening when he hurt his neck last year.
I agree.
You have any Ryder Cup thoughts?
Was that painful?
It was. Would you be interested in captaining the team? We need a good captain for Team USA in 2 years, Adam. We just need somebody who's competent, who knows what they're doing, who's going to listen to people. And you, as a passionate guy for golf, I think I'd like to nominate you for the Ryder Cup captain for 2027.
I'm telling you, I could do it. I could do it. And I'm happy to represent our country and go to Ireland. And the weather, I'm sure, won't be great there, Chewy, but I'll tolerate it as the captain of the United States Ryder Cup team. And we'll do the best we can to put our best foot forward. You know, I did agree with Rory. I thought some of the behavior was over the top and over the line and just not appropriate. And I don't know whether some people don't get that there are different rules to follow in golf. I don't know. Yeah, but the etiquette was not great, as I kind of expected would be the case over the weekend. Yeah. So
I feel like the PGA of America was leaning into that. Like, oh, hey, we're having this thing in New York. It's going to be at Bethpage Black. It's going to be wild. And kind of seemed like leaning into it, they were almost encouraging some of the behavior that we came to see.
Maybe, but it also just feels like it's kind of where we're at.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's a good point.
I think it's more indicative of where we as a country are, like, just kind of how some people that you see these fights in the stands, you know, all the time after football. Like, what are we doing? Come on, man. Like, let's have a little bit of etiquette and respect for people. Just all you're asking is to respect people. You could boo the opposition, but there's a certain point where I think it crosses a line.
Adam, always appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Guys, thank you for the time to work on that Shador. By the way, so what are you guys gonna do? Like, no Packers game. Does that alter your weekend in any kind of way with the Packers having a bye?
We got Brewers going to be opening up their divisional series on Saturday. So we got playoff baseball that we get to focus on. Don't have to worry about the Packers and all that this weekend. Fully focus on Brewers opening up their playoff run.
Who do the Brewers play? I don't even know.
It'll be the winner of the Padres-Cubs series. Cubs won, so they're up 1-0. Cubs win today. It'll be the Cubs.
I'll be watching Red Sox-Blue Jays.
The Red Sox-Yankees, it just shows you how little I know. That's best of three?
Of three. So if the Red Sox win today, that series is done.
Yep. Okay. That's interesting. I don't know how the rules of the baseball playoff rules anymore.
Yeah. It's expanded. It's gotten complicated. I get it.
You just do what you do, Adam.
I'm just trying to keep up with the NFL overtime rules. I don't have time for baseball rules.
Always appreciate it, Shefty. Best of luck to your Michigan Wolverines. Not that they need it this weekend.
And to your Badgers as well. Have a great week. See that? Etiquette, sports.
Yes, that's very good etiquette.
Adam Schefter joins us each and every Wednesday here. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, if you're looking for an all-in-one trip, the Island Resort Casino has you covered. Book championship golf, gaming, spa, dining, and live entertainment all in one epic destination. Book your total experience now. IslandResortAndCasino.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
A freaking catapult attached to his right hip. I just made that up. A catapult.
That was good.
I kind of liked it. I was rolling with it, Rob.
Like a slingshot? Okay.
I'm calling old catapult leg from here on out.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Maybe we're just trying too hard when really it's closer than it is too far.
It is a Windorf Wednesday here on Jen and Gabe and Chewy at Tony Windorf and Associates, the First Weber Group. They believe in the human side of real estate. Faith, family, friends. They move fast, negotiate with confidence, and communicate clearly so their clients win. No matter if you're buying or selling, get started today. WindorfTeam.FirstWeber.com.
So I felt like you started as almost like a Christmas carol, and then it kind of became almost like cheerleader sing-songy in the middle, and then we returned at the end back to the cut of a more Christmas hymn.
That's the more you can do.
That was the theme. That was the theme, you know? I was sensing there with the...
That's the more you can do. You play tight end, maybe hold, emergency holder on field goal, and you snap. So versatility, that's all about.
That's what you're all about. Right? That's what you can do.
Josh, what do you grade me on that?
B.
What does Maddie give me?
Maddie, what do you grade Chewy? She says A.
I love Maddie. Maddie's the best.
I mean, honestly, it's the first time you've ever gotten the website right. Just took you singing the song. Singing, making some nonsensical song up to get the website right for Tony Weber and Associates.
I mean...
Or Tony Wendorf and Associates, excuse me. Weber.
I tried.
Yeah,
my way
it.
Flows much better, but hey, is what it is.
You nailed it this time. This time around, you absolutely nailed it.
Can Tony play golf or no? You play golf?
Yeah, he's a good enough player, yeah.
Handicap?
I don't know, he's probably like a 10.
Because I'm starting to question Homer's handicap.
I was telling you that story, yes.
And I wasn't the only one questioning it.
Well, so I've been waiting to try to tell this story on the tee, but I've got to get Homer to tell it. But last week we celebrated, I didn't even had a chance to talk to Homer about this until last week when we were here celebrating his 20th anniversary with GKB. So I finally got a chance to talk to him about this. There is a tournament every year called the Arnold Walker Championship. It is the county championship put on by the MCPLA, which kind of organized different events in Milwaukee County, and they always hold it at a Milwaukee County course. Typically, it's at Brown Deer. This year, it was up at Dretzka. And so Homer signed up for it. Homer played in it. I did not have the chance to play in it this year. It's a two-day event, and that Sunday was the celebration of life for Euchre, and I didn't want to miss that at the ballpark. So Homer's up there, and I'm getting texts on that Saturday from multiple people asking me what's up with my guy Homer. What do you mean? Well, is he a sandbagger? No. Like, Homer is the least sandbagging person I could ever play golf with. Well, he's 1-under through 10, and he's an 11 handicap.
Doesn't happen often.
No. I mean, I think it's... Somebody looked it up when we were talking about it last week. I think it's like 1 in 100,000 rounds.
Okay.
For like an individual
fair,
golfer.
Fair.
So, Homer ends up shooting in the opening round as an 11 handicap, a 72. Shoots even par. He made bogey on 18 to shoot 72. And again, everyone's texting me. I'm getting multiple texts from people I know if Homer's a sandbagger because there's an 11 shooting a 72 and even a par round. Like, that just never happens. So I talked to Homer about it, and he said that the entire time it was happening, he would just assume he was going to screw up. Because no matter what handicap you are, Chu, like
it
if
always,
you're a 10,
yeah.
Like you get off to a hot start mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, you're 1-under through 4, 1-under through 3, whatever it is, you okay, I'm going to come crashing back to earth. You know what's going to happen. And Homer's like, I just expected that to happen. It never did. And then my favorite part, and this is something only Homer could think about. After shooting 72 in the opening round of a two-day tournament, and now he's in first place in his flight, because obviously he's not playing in the championship mm-hmm. flight where there are really, really good golfers. He's whatever flight he's in, he's leading. And he thought about not showing up for day two.
Just put the clubs away.
Because he thought about retiring because he was never going to do better than that 72. He thought about hanging it up and never playing golf again.
Showmanship. Leave on a high note.
Go out on a high note.
Right? But in the defense of all the texters,
yeah,
we both would have said the same thing. If we didn't know him
and
we were playing
him.
Against him,
oh yeah, 100%.
We would have said
100%.
Yeah.
But I know Homer, and to shoot 72,
especially from the left side.
Did you
that's
mention,
weird.
Did you mention it happened the following days?
We're getting there.
Okay.
We're getting there.
Okay.
But to shoot 72 in tournament conditions, because most people, if they're shooting the round of their life, you're scooping a putt here and there. Right?
Yeah.
You're not putting it. He was in a tournament. Everything had to go into the bottom of the cup. So he shoots just a legitimate 72. Any guesses on what he shot the next day?
91.
88.
Close. Back to reality.
Back to reality. So he showed up, shoots 88 in round two.
Nice.
Chewy's got some issues at home as well. We'll get into that plus more Packers talk, getting excited for the Brewers. And our midweek meal ticket with Cousin Subs. All coming up. Hour 2, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy starts in 2 minutes.